You're a wild woman. I have learned so much from her. Main thing that I learned was how little I know. From her. Now, most of you know who this is going to be because I have painted the picture of what you've already thought. I love that laugh. Woo! I'm going to package that laugh. I love it. Woo! Look at that. I like it. But most everybody here already knows our speaker for this evening. And I don't know if she's a speaker, but she sure is a good talker. She's a very wild lady. And I don't think she'll want to leave Josh to come up here, but she promised that she would share her thoughts tonight. And that's our Celeste! Yay! Yay!
Good evening. So when Millie asked me to talk, I asked her what she wanted me to talk about, and she told me to just share your story, baby doll. Well, I've been through quite a bit in my lifetime, too much to share in a 20-minute talk, but there is one section that I feel really led me to this path that I'm on, and I would like to share that with you tonight, and it's the first time I share it publicly, so please forgive me if I read it right from the paper. When I was in high school, I basically had the world in the palm of my hand, or at least that was my perception. I was an academic scholar athlete. I excelled at everything I did, and anything I tried seemed to come naturally to me. I had a photographic memory, which meant I never had to study or take notes to ace tests. I loved math. I completed most math classes offered in high school by teaching myself. In fact, I only missed two questions on my math SAT. I played field hockey, softball, track and field. I tried to play football, but my mother wouldn't have it. By my sophomore year, I earned my first degree black belt in Taekwondo. My senior year, I opened my own dojo and taught over 100 children and students. In high school, I was a business owner. Between my academics and athletics, I earned scholarships to MIT and UC Berkeley. Not to mention the Army and Marine Corps were heavily recruiting me for their Taekwondo teams. The summer after graduating, I went to Korea to test for my second degree black belt and to train for the 88 Olympics. I truly had the world in the palm of my hands. In the fall of the year I graduated, my parents of one of my favorite students, Katie, an 8-year-old girl that was so full of spirit and life, she reminded me so much of myself, pulled me aside and told me they needed a huge favor from me. I immediately said, "Anything you need." I assume that they just wanted me to babysit for them. The mom proceeds to tell me that Katie has been having some troubles and they have been going to counseling. They've hit a roadblock and the counselor asked her if there was anyone that she felt she could talk to about anything. She said yes, Sabanim, which is the Korean name for instructor. So they wanted to know if I would go to a counseling appointment with her. I could feel the heartbreak and sorrow in this mother's eyes and right away I said yes, of course, anything. The mom then said, "Well, let me tell you what's been going on. 2 months ago, we discovered that our neighbor has been touching Katie inappropriately in a sexual manner." Tears began streaming down this mother's cheeks, and though tears were also flowing from her father's eyes, I could feel the rage boiling inside of him as he clenched his fists. The mom kept talking, describing in details a few times that they knew about, because the man was also abusing his 8-year-old daughter. While she's speaking her piece, Katie's father is unloading his own rage, explaining how lucky the man is that he doesn't own a gun, and describing the things that he would like to do to him. At some point, I stopped hearing anything either of them were saying, and all of a sudden, this download started going on in my head. You know when you're watching a show and somebody tries to steal all the files off of a computer and everything starts flashing on the screen? That's what was going on in my head. All of these images, feelings, and moments in my life where these things also happened to me and started when I was around 8. At that very moment, my perfect world imploded. I was now living in hell. I no longer knew what was right or wrong, what was reality. How could this be true? All of these conflicting emotions and feelings flooded my being every day. Why did I spend most of my life thinking it was normal in the way all little girls live their life? I questioned everything in my entire life. I had no idea what I was supposed to feel about anything or anyone, and I trusted no one, especially myself. For months, anyone I told would have this look of terror then rage on their face, telling me how horrible and vile it was that this happened to me. When I tried to talk with my parents, it turned into one more secret that had to be silenced. But what did that say about me? There were flashbacks and memories that were terrifying, painful, and very traumatic. But there were also parts I liked. I liked the attention. I liked being told I was special. I liked some of the feelings I felt. So what did this say about me? It was so confusing, I came to the conclusion that I was broken, bad, vile, and I hated myself. The confusion and pain that I felt was unbearable. How could anyone even stand the sight of me? So after months of feeling like I was disgusting, horrible, and certainly not worthy of living, I succumbed to the pain and confusion and decided to take my own life. I had been prescribed antidepressants and sleeping pills through this whole ordeal. I can vividly remember the day I grabbed a handful of each bottle and swallowed them. I remember feeling such a huge sense of relief as soon as I swallowed them, thinking no one ever has to look at this disgusting person again. I began to walk from the kitchen to the couch, but on the way started to feel dizzy and ill, remembering falling to the floor. Then a deep feeling of peace came over me. I remember seeing three figures in a white fog. Today, I know for certain that this was my grandparents and godfather on my father's side, who had all crossed years before. They told me they were sorry for my pain, but I had so much more to do in my life, and it wasn't my time. The next thing I remember is waking up strapped to a hospital bed. My other set of grandparents, how ironic, happened to walk in at just the right time. But even so, the doctors were amazed that they were able to bring me back from the amount of pills that I swallowed. Back then, I thought it was pretty crappy luck. Now I know it was divine intervention. I spent the next 2 years trying everything I could to numb the pain of the memories. I drank more alcohol and did more drugs morning, noon, night, and late night than any person should do in 20 lifetimes. I did some really stupid, reckless things. And looking back on, I should have crossed over on numerous occasions. Then it happened. I found out I was pregnant with my first child, and I immediately quit everything. When I tell people my son saved my life, I mean my son saved my life. I had a purpose again. There was finally meaning to my life. I was going to be a mom, and by golly, I was going to be the best mom ever. If there was ever something I was going to excel at, this was it. I spent the next 4 years raising four beautiful souls, being the best mom I could possibly be. Well, my life was no longer about me. It was about these beautiful children and what they needed to be successful. Every decision I made from that point on was made for them. They were my life, my purpose, or so I thought. I probably got it wrong more times than right, but I was a good mom. They never went without love, and whether they know it or not, every decision I made was for their safety, well-being, happiness, and future in mind. I still always felt like I was missing something, like there was something else that I was supposed to be doing. 15 years ago, I moved to Park City, Utah with my kids. It was not easy raising four kids in Park City as a single parent. I sometimes felt like I worked more in 10 years than most people do in a lifetime. But I tried my best to pick jobs that I could be flexible with, make my own schedule, so to speak, so that I wouldn't miss things like football games, wrestling meets, cheer competitions, proms, and homecomings. I tried my best to be present at as many important events as possible. I didn't date like most single moms in town. I once again felt like my focus needed to be on them, and I didn't want to be distracted by having to nurture a relationship. I worked usually 2 or 3 jobs at a time, volunteered on boards and school events when I could, and made some amazing memories with my children. I questioned myself over and over, wondering if I was doing the right things. and always having that feeling that there was something more I was supposed to be doing. In 2012, I had what I call my hell year. I had 6 surgeries in 8 months that pretty much had me flat on my back for 18 months. I spent over a year on heavy narcotics, OxyContin, Dilaudid, Valium, Percodone. I began weaning myself off of them and dealing with the excruciating pain because I couldn't handle the moodiness, depression, and cloudiness that the drugs were making me feel anymore. Though none of this was my doing, I suffered extreme guilt and depression for what this year did to my kids. My daughter had to celebrate her sweet 16 in a hospital conference room. My kids, with the help of my unofficial 5th child, their cousin, basically had to fend for themselves and take care of me. My second oldest completely stepped up to the plate and took on responsibilities that never should have been put on him. I can't even begin to imagine what it was like having to live with me during this time. I was definitely in a very depressed state for the next couple of years. My daughter's senior year compounded all of these feelings. All of the boys were out of the house living their lives, and the closer my daughter got to graduation, the more and more I began to feel insignificant. After she graduated, I was on unemployment looking for a new job. Imagine that. The woman that worked 2 and 3 jobs was now unemployed. I was having a very difficult time finding a job. I was still in excruciating pain, and it was difficult to function. I couldn't stand or sit in any one position for any length of time. The way I felt, I couldn't go back to a job on my feet all day, but I also couldn't sit and work an office job. My unemployment was running out. I was horrified with the thought of having to ask my son or my niece to have to take care of me. I had no idea what I was going to do. I was still in so much pain and going deeper and deeper into a depression. Instead of having a purpose in my life, taking care of my kids, I began feeling like I was not needed by them and I was about to become a huge burden on them. Once again, thoughts of suicide began to creep into my mind, which made me even more depressed. I found myself trying to think of ways that I could pull off an accident so that at least my kids could get some insurance money. How could I even be thinking these thoughts again? Imagine what it would have done to my daughter if she came home and found me. This would have destroyed my children. Then I would think, but I raised strong kids. They would take care of each other. But I had to be strong. So many confusing thoughts just kept going in and out of my mind. I was broken and I couldn't see how to fix myself. And then the voice popped in my head. There is so much more you have to do with your life. This time I reached out to a friend and she said, you need to get away. She called her friend that lived in San Diego, and he said he was in need of some assistance and would love my help. This was the most difficult thing that I've ever done in my life. My children are my life. They are my everything. Every decision, every feeling, every breath I took was with them in mind, and I was about to leave them. But at least I would still be alive. 3 days later, I did the most spontaneous thing I've ever done in my life, and I was on a plane to San Diego. The first 6 months were excruciatingly painful. I cried morning, noon, and night. I tried to smile and be happy, but my heart was broken into a million pieces. A couple of the kids wouldn't talk to me, and the ones that did, well, it was different. But that was understandable. I left them. I was supposed to take care of them, and I left them. I was sure they saw this as a very selfish act, but for the first time in my life, I did something for me that was very unselfish. I was still alive, and if I had stayed, I might not be. I kept telling myself, you're still here, Celeste, and someday they will understand that you did what you had to do for you. We are now walking a path of healing together, and I am so grateful. Then the day came. Thanks to Raina. I walked in the side door of this beautiful little church, and the moment I stepped in, I was home. The feeling of peace, tranquility, calmness, belonging that came over me was indescribable. When I sat down on the healing stool, the floodgates opened, and this healing was the first of many. So many of you in this church have helped me. I would like to personally thank every single one of you, but that would be another entire 20-minute talk. No one has helped me more than this beautiful, sweet soul back here. If you haven't taken Millie's classes, I encourage you to try them. If you have taken them, I ask you to listen to her lessons again with an open heart and really take inventory on your own life. Every lesson in her classes spoke to me like nothing I had ever heard before. Years and years of different religions, multiple counselors, psychiatrists, and all of a sudden, everything in my life was beginning to make sense. The good, the bad, and the extremely ugly all had meaning. All of it played a tremendous part in shaping who I am today, and I wouldn't go back and change one moment of it. I was finally completely healing and truly forgiving. For the first time in my life, I know without a doubt where I'm exactly supposed to be and doing. Over the past couple of years, I have been honored and blessed to give some very powerful healing messages to people that have lost loved ones to suicide. I have witnessed so many valid emotions, from anguish, guilt, confusion, sadness, heartbreak, and anger. All of them are valid. I can't begin to tell anyone what a loved one was feeling when they made this decision. I can only tell you my small truth, and that's that I truly believe this place would be better off without me. This is the first time I share this story, but I don't believe it will be the last. And if one person changes their mind and realizes that they are not alone in this, it will be well worth it. So if you are ever dealing with depression, I promise you my door is always open, and I do understand what you are feeling. I would like to close my talk by dedicating a song that's very special to me, to all those that have been lost to this horrible disease.
Flickers, flickers, who cares?
cares when someone's time runs out? If a moment is all we are, or quicker, who cares if one more light goes out? Well, I do. Flickers. Who cares when someone's time runs out? If a moment is all we are,